My dear respected elders and brothers,
what the mainstream media has reported. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this is there are many theories that float around with regard to this, which questions the authenticity of the official line. However, we cannot go on perceptions, or we cannot go on theories. We have to go on what the mainstream media has reported and what is the perception of people out there. And we have to address those perceptions. People's perceptions, are they reality? And that is on what basis we are speaking today, on the basis of what the mainstream media has reported, that two Muslim people or four or whatever it is have been behind the attack against the editor and other staff members of the Charlie Hebdo magazine. Firstly, let me start off by saying, as ulama and the Jamiatul Ulama, the ulama have never ever and will never ever condone the taking of law into the hands of individuals. No matter what the provocation, no matter what, how you are provoked, ulama and the fatwa of the muftis is this, that in situations where there is a country and there is a law, the ulama and the muftis have given fatwa that you cannot take the law into your own hands, irrespective of the provocation. And wherever individual groups and organizations have taken law into their own hands, it has always led to greater chaos than the chaos that they intended to obliterate. This is a fact. And you'll find in the world today that this matter has been repeatedly played out. Whether it be in Somalia, whether it be in Pakistan, I can speak with some modem of authority of what happens in Pakistan, studying there and keeping in touch. When people started taking the law into their own hands, thinking that they would do something that is beneficial, what actually happened is, there is killing, there is counter-killings, there have been ulama, the cream of the ulama in Pakistan have been gunned down, have been killed. No one knows why they have been killed. No one knows why they have been killed. Perhaps even the people who are killing them don't know why they are killing them. But this is what happens when there is extrajudicial killings. This is what happens when you take law into your own hands. And in many places where Muslims are throughout the world, many places Muslims are in minority, if this becomes the pattern, you will find society is harmed and even Muslims would be harmed. So I've got no qualms whatsoever in starting off this talk by saying that as ulama, we would never ever condone taking law into your own hands, irrespective of the provocation. Having said that, whatever has happened to those people, I'm not going to lose sleep with regard to it. While saying that we do not condone what has happened, we are not going to lose sleep, because this is a racist, offensive magazine which has started off and has always provoked Muslims with regard to the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which, as I will go on to explain, is at the very core of our existence. Now, the first aspect with regard to this particular scenario is that what has been quoted and what has been made mention, they say that azadi hai. So azadi ki bina par hum jisko bura kehna chahe to hum keh sakte hai. Jisko jo hai na hum jo kuch kehna chahe hum keh sakte hai. Whatever we want to say with regard to someone, we've got the right. There is a freedom of expression. There is a freedom to abuse. Because of freedom of expression, we can go express ourselves the way we want to express ourselves. Now, we have to keep in mind what is our situation with regard to freedom of expression. We know that the tongue Allah Ta'ala has given us is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah. It's a very great favor of Allah. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. We have created human beings and we have given him the power of speech. Allah makes mention that this power of speech is a distinguishing characteristic of the human being through which he can convey his emotions and he can convey his feelings to people. But together with it being a ni'mat, ye zaman jo hai na, ye Allah Ta'ala ki bari ni'mat hai, لیکن نعمت نعمت کے ساتھ یہ ایک ذمہ داری ہے. اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کی ذمہ داری کے طور پر ہمیں عطا فرمایا کہ جو ہے نا اس کو صحیح طرح سے اس کو ادا کرو اور اس کے استعمال کرو. یوز دا ٹنگ کریکٹلی, یوز دا کمیونیکیشن کریکٹلی, یوز اٹ ٹو برنگ لو اینڈ محبت, ڈونٹ یوز اٹ ٹو ٹیئر پیپل اپارٹ. دس از واٹ وی ہیو آلویز ان علماء اینڈ اسلام ہیو آلویز میڈ مینشن دیٹ دس مینز آف کمیونیکیشن از اے نعمت بٹ یوز اٹ ریسپانسبلی. اینڈ وتھ ریگارڈ ٹو فریڈم آف ایکسپریشن, the freedom to call those who are in authority to account is one of the great favors Islam has bestowed, not only in theory but in practice to the world. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on not one, several occasions, was questioned on his minbar with regard to what he had said when it was apparently and very patently false. Then he one day made mention that I will put a stop to the great amount of dowry that Muslim woman would demand. One woman got up and said, "Oh Umar, dowry is our right, not your right. We will decide what we want to ask with regard to our dowry. You got no right to speak on the minbar with regard to bringing down the dowry of Muslim woman." So Umar radiallahu ta'ala got down from the minbar and said, "Kullu nas أعلم من عمر حتى العجائز." Everyone knows more than Umar. Even an old woman knows more than Umar. So not once, on many occasions, he was called to account and he never ever got angry with regard to it. So using freedom of expression with the intention of calling people to account, those who are in authority, there is nothing wrong with it. It is one of the things that Islam has cherished. But using the freedom of expression to hurt people, to be deliberately offensive to people, to abuse people, is something that is against Islam. Ulama would always stand against it. And I tell you this from this member, that if the ulama come to know that a Muslim person, through the means of his writings, through the means of his caricature and cartoon, is degrading and abusing other religions, you can be rest assured that the ulama would do their duty and tell that person, "You are not allowed to abuse other religions." وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهِ. Do not abuse those people who worship or who call, you know, idols besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهِ. They would abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not, and it's amazing. If you look at the situation, how much attacks there have been against Islamic symbols. We have not seen, despite the provocation, Muslim reacting in such a manner. We have not seen Muslims going to bring about abuse and caricatures of other religions and other religious figures. This shows much to the tolerance, despite the weakness, of the Muslim ummah and community. On the other hand, let us examine this aspect of complete freedom of expression. Is there complete freedom of expression? Can you go and shout fire in the midst of a crowded theater? No one gives you that right. Our constitution in South Africa is regarded to be a liberal constitution. But even our constitution, section 16, subsection B, put limitations with regard to freedom of expression. That freedom of expression cannot be used to incite hatred, to incite violence. So even in the most liberal constitution, there is limitations. And even with regard to the French law, which they say there is freedom of expression, so they give you the right, or they give the magazine the right to draw caricatures upon a personality regarded to be sacred by 1.5 billion people in the world. Let us examine and you will find, you know, glaring double standards in this particular regard. You will find that this very same government which calls upon for freedom of expression have curtailed freedom of expression when it suits their political agenda. So the very same Charlie Hebdo magazine, when one of the writers had written something against the Jews, he was called to apologize. He refused to apologize. He was fired by the very same magazine. When he had drawn caricatures of the son of the previous French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, he was called upon to apologize. He refused. That particular type of caricature was removed from the magazine. The very same France speaks about freedom of expression, but it is well known that the French government and the French court banned a clothing advert in which the Last Supper was mimicked. And in that Last Supper, we know that there is a very famous painting, according to them, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam having supper with the disciples. And instead of the disciples, they had scantily clad clothing. The Catholic Church took the matter to the French court, and the French court outlawed that advert. So this is an example. Just recently, yesterday, there was an example of a hot dog seller in Canada that went to go and test the limits of freedom of expression on the social media. He went to go and tweet many aspects with regard to, you know, speaking about things which were offensive, which we will never ever condone. And if anyone does it, we will try and stop him. And which he said, we didn't know Americans could fly since they started flying from the top of the Twin Towers building. And he started tweeting with regard to the Holocaust and bringing aspects with regard to the Holocaust and with regard to ovens. Immediately, within half an hour, the police in Halifax had him arrested. So where is this? Why is this double standards? It is offensive against certain people. And the moment there is a French comedian who had drawn caricatures with regard to people who are regarded to be heroes in the French history, Napoleon and Charles de Gaulle, he immediately was imprisoned. So where do they have this aspect with regard to freedom of speech? It seems that this particular freedom of speech is only there to attack the Muslims, because in today's time it has become fair game. In this particular regard, let me also make mention, it seems that one of the reasons, and of course when people talk about it in today's time, they speak about this aspect that, you know, this is our values. Is this the value that you are talking about? You know, David Cameron went on and he said, I'm going to France with the intention of, you know, speaking out against the attack on our values. Is this the value that you are talking about, the double standards? Is this the value that you regard it as part of your values, that it is the highest form of your value to abuse someone who is regarded to be so sacred in their religion? Is that your values? Let us examine this aspect of values. Can you imagine a society? Let us take this example. So this value is, you must be able to abuse someone. So from the morning you get up, just imagine a society, just imagine a home, just imagine a community. When you get up in the morning, the son go and abuse the parent go and abuse the son. The child comes out and goes to the school, he goes and abuses the teacher abuses the student. You go out on the road, you go and abuse your fellow people who are using the road, they abuse you. What type of society is that? Is that your value? Is that the values that you are speaking about? That you have the right to abuse people? What type of values is this? In reality, it is not about values. It is about something much more sinister. It is about something that is much more than that. And it seems that this is not about freedom of expression. This is, in a way, a campaign to desensitize the one community which still holds certain things sacred. This is not about freedom of expression. This is to desensitize the one community in this world which still, despite its weakness, holds certain things sacred. There is no one today that has got any sacredness left. What sacredness left is there in the Christian faith? That you can go and abuse anyone and it doesn't care, it doesn't matter anyone. But of course, Muslims do regard certain things. And what will people who do not have a sense of any sacredness, what would they know about a community about whom they regard and they have many things that they regard as sacred? What would they know? When people don't know with regard to it, a civilization in which nothing is sacred, what would they appreciate and understand with regard to a civilization and a religion in which there are many things that are sacred? It seems that the only thing sacred in the Western civilization is personal self-appreciation and self-motivation and self-interest. Money, wealth, and your own name and fame. And only about yourself, that is the only thing that has remained sacred. Nothing else has become sacred. But to us, we are very clear in this particular regard, that for us, the Zat and the Deen and our Deen and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the core of our existence. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم the Nabi of Allah is more closer to the believers than his own self. لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you are true believers until you love the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than what you love your own self, what you love your parents, what you love your own children. The Prophet of Almighty Allah is more dear and more beloved to us in this regard. To compromise on this is to compromise on our faith. To compromise on this is to compromise on our very own existence. ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have three qualities. You have the quality of the sweetness of faith. And what are those three qualities? One is, where Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved to you than anything else. That Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved to you than anything else. Second thing is, you love people for the sake of Allah, not for your soul, sake in self-interest. And the third is, after you have iman, you dislike going into disbelief more, you'll dislike it more than falling into a fire. Three things, whoever has, he has got the sweetness of iman. And one of them is, you love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more than what you love your own self and anything else. In this particular regard, we must keep this in mind. And there are many examples with regard to it. We love the Prophet of Almighty Allah more than any. We are weak. But brothers, I tell even the weakest Muslim, you can swear him, swear his parents, he might be able to tolerate it. Swear the Prophet of Almighty Allah in front of him, very few would be able to tolerate it. That is why the Persian poet had said, perhaps you can take a chance with Allah, but don't take a chance with the Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his love that people have in their heart with regard to it. It's a small love. Maybe not to what it was. Umar radiallahu ta'ala upon the death of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this remarkable remark. And he said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, when the date palm upon which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lean upon and give the khutbah, when it was uprooted and another mimbar was put, so the people, of course today it is preserved at Istiwana Hanana in Majlis Nabawi, the pillar of Hanana, that date palm could be heard crying with these type of words, on this basis, that the Nabi of Allah used to lean upon me. Today the Nabi of Allah would not be leaning upon me, that they have changed the mimbar. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that if a date palm could cry at your departure and you no more leaning upon it, how much more is it worthy for human beings to cry upon your departure? We use the same analogy, that how much more would it hurt us if the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is abused? We have this particular love, and of course Allah Ta'ala must always keep us with that love. Zayd ibn Jathina was been executed in Medina as a retribution for some people who were killed in Badr. And as he was led to his execution, Abu Sufyan said, Zayd, can you imagine that we free you today? And in your place there is a Prophet of Almighty Allah, Muhammad is here. And in your place Muhammad is here, and you will be saved. You will be sitting with your family. And the Nabi of Allah would be executed. Zayd ibn Jathina said, as he was led to execution, not theory, practical, while he was being led to execution, he said, I cannot even imagine a thorn pricking the Prophet of Allah while I remain in happiness with my family. You're talking about his life? I can't imagine a thorn pricking the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I must be alive or I must be happy with my family. So this must be our situation. And inshallah it is the situation of many people, maybe not to that degree and extent the way the earlier Muslims had. However, in saying that, we should always keep this particular aspect in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention about it. It has always been the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Allah. Prophets have been abused in the past. Our Nabi was abused. And Allah ta'ala has made mention with regard to it. You know, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيكُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ We know you will be hurt. Look at the words of the Quran. بِمَا يَقُولُونَ Whatever they say. We know that you will be hurt by whatever they say. What are you supposed to do? فسبح بحمد ربك. This is a Quranic ayat. فسبح بحمد. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And bring about conviction in Allah and His Rasul until you achieve that ultimate conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient upon what they say. If a person had, if there was in the past, even in recent past, in the time of the Ottomans, towards the latter portion of the Ottoman period, there was a play in France, in Paris, which was, you know, abusing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ottoman Empire used its power and weight to call upon the French government to remove that particular play. It was removed. Then it was brought to London. They wrote to the British government at that time that you must stop this play because it abuses our prophet. They said, no, the tickets have been sold. We cannot stop it. The Ottoman Empire said, we will wage jihad against you. They removed that play. This is a time when Muslims could stand up with regard to the honor of the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, the fact is we don't. In that particular regard, whatever we can within the law, we will do that. Beyond that, we know that whatever they do can never harm the personality of the Prophet of Almighty Allah. Can never ever harm the Prophet. Can never diminish the greatness of Almighty Allah's Prophet. After all, Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have exalted your name, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. No one can ever dent that particular exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a proclamation which comes from the heaven. It is something that we believe. When the people of Makkah, they started saying Mudammam instead of Muhammad. I can't even translate the word Mudammam. Because of historical facts, I will put it forward. Mudammam is the opposite of Muhammad. Muhammad means the praised one. Mudammam means the opposite. What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Subhanallah. Look at his zarf. Look at his tolerance. Look at his greatness. The Nabi of Allah, remember, they used to call him with names. The Quran did not even desist from using the names that they used to call the Prophet of Almighty Allah. The Quran has made mention that they call you a magician. They call you a liar. They call you a sorcerer. The Quran has made mention. And you and I will make mention of it till the day of Qiyamah. Because it's part of the Quran. So when they said, you know, that Aliyadu Billah, the opposite of Muhammad, they use that name. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look at this Quraysh. They are calling me something. I'm not that. I'm not that. I'm Muhammad. I'm the one whom Allah has praised. I'm the praised one. They are using the opposite. I'm not that. So even we say that you don't have any example in front of you of the appearance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can go and do it. It is not our prophet. Our prophet is whom we have the greatest regard for. He is at the core of our existence. He is more dearer to us than ourselves. He is more dearer to us than our parents and our children. And may we die upon that.